Are you trying to find the perfect distribution platform to get your music on Spotify and Apple? I personally use and love DistroKid. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/DistroKid to get a small discount and get access to a platform with unlimited uploads for a yearly fee. Happy uploading and enjoy the show.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host, DK, and with me, as always, is my lovely co-host, the Lawton Lou.
Hey, I just got to say, I do really like these Lawton mics, and shout out to Lawton and Bryson for always taking care of us.
Yeah, I sent in my mic to get a repair, and they took great care of it, and I realized that I lost my pop filter, so it's somewhere in the void. I got to go back into the void to find it. But yes, Lawton Audio, thank you so much for always hanging out with us, giving us great sounding voices. All right.
I still need to try their snare mic.
Ooh,
That's the one mic I haven't been able to try yet.
Is it just a chode version of this one?
It is. It's a lot more focused, and it actually has, from what I remember, like a higher SPL transient because it's supposed to be, you know, it's meant to be right in front of the stick on a snare. So I imagine it's the same construction grade.
Yeah.
This thing could take a hit from a stick. I know it has before.
Yeah. Let's beat up mics and review them. This one took a beat
actually
really well.
That would make an interesting YouTube channel series. So if somebody were to just start checking mic durability, so the SM57 test, you know, somebody's just taking drumsticks and just whacking the shit out of mics, like, yeah, maybe don't put this one in front of a drum set.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the review process.
So today's episode is an interesting one.
Yeah.
This is inspired from, so if you ever wonder what podcasts I listen to, I mostly listen to stories and comedy. Mm-hmm. But there are a couple audio specific ones that I can recommend. One of them is it's a show that I really like. I think it has a bunch of interesting episodes. Is the Attack and Release Show. Who is it by?
It is by Matthew Garber,
Matt and Sam.
Sam Moses.
Yeah, so we got a mastering engineer and a recording engineer, I think. And they have an episode called, it's like episode number 67, and we wanted to do our take on this because we think it's very important. Mm-hmm. It's called Don't Catfish Your Clients. So we want to talk about running a business and running a business with integrity. And how that can affect your business, like short-term gains versus long-term gains, especially within the music world.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why it's so important is because, especially in Los Angeles, music industry is
plentiful.
Yeah,
there's a lot out here.
Let me think about how I want to describe it. It's small, it's aggressive, it's very sensitive. Meaning, you burn one bridge that may affect you more than working in another industry with so many more people.
Oh yeah.
Where like you burn one bridge here, that may be the reason why you don't do as well. I mean, like statistically speaking, just because there's so few people actually working in the industry.
Yeah.
And even like potential customers for a recording studio in Idaho. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you upset one artist in Idaho. That's like 10% of the artists in Idaho that were looking to record at your studio, you know? So I want to be clear, like this sort of topic does affect our industry a lot. I also think that typically those that are trying to do music are fundamentally more creative and less assertive. And I think that there's a lot more empathy, which means that it's really easily people are very sensitive and feel like they're being taken advantage of, whether or not that's true or not. But people will put up their guards. People have been burned a lot. It's easy to burn. It's easy to get burned. It's easy to get into arguments if you're not careful. So with this, it's very, very important to protect your wallet and to build your business by having a foundation of integrity. With our studios that we've had, one of our pillars in the past, and this is a personal pillar of mine, is integrity. Honesty is extremely important to me, and to the point where I have an unhealthy amount of, I am unable to be dishonest to a point where it's actually kind of destructive.
Yeah.
So if you ask me whether or not you like my, if I like your music, DK, do you like this song? I am unable to say yes to help you save face. I can't. It goes against everything that I believe in. It's to my detriment. Yeah. In this episode, there are a few different practices that you should avoid. We're going to talk about some practical things. First off, Lou, you want to talk about money and having the money conversation.
Yeah. Honestly speaking, there's always going to be the issue of finances. And finances isn't necessarily the issue. It's kind of priorities that come into play when you're talking money. For instance, there's got to be a budget for marketing. There's got to be a budget for recording. And there's also a budget for mixing and mastering or whatever services you need. A photo shoot for your album cover or your single cover. You know, everything has an expense to it unless you're doing it all yourself. At which point the expense is also your time. Now, when it comes to finances, the last thing you want to do is promise the world and charge $50 for it. Because the reality is those $50 are not going to pay all your bills. So you can't dedicate that much time to it, right? And if you're just going to half-ass it and just turn it in, then those people feel like you cheated them out of what you promised. And they probably would have been more willing to pay more for it. But sometimes there's the opposite side of that hand, which is you say, you know what, for me to really give it the love and attention that it needs, count for revision time and all that kind of stuff and my own overhead and all that, it's going to be, let's just say, $300, $500, whatever your mixing price is. But they tell you, hey, you know what, honestly, that's really expensive. I don't think I can afford it. It's like, well, you know what, it sounds like we want to work together, though. And that's kind of the first starting ground. We want to work together. The conversation doesn't need to be like, oh, but I'm the best, or I have this gear, this and that. You don't have to justify yourself in the sense of like promising the world in exchange for their finances and this and that. What you really need to do is have an honest conversation. And yeah. It always comes back to that honesty. It's like, listen, I would really like to work with you, but I can't do it for less, and then put it on a back burner and not give it priority because you're going to end up feeling cheated, this and that. And just be honest with them. Like, I don't want to provide a service that I'm not going to be comfortable with.
Yeah. There's, so let's talk about that as the first point. Then we're talking about it. I'm going to say it directly on the head. Mm-hmm. It's having a business, an honest business. And I'm going to say integrity, because integrity is, it encompasses honesty and beyond. It's a little bit more than just being honest, having integrity. So the number one thing is is you're talking about setting expectations.
Setting expectations, whether your price point is acceptable or not currently.
What you're willing to do, what they want.
What do they need?
This happens far too often. And this is very, very dishonest. And I'm kind of torn. There's a balance that we could talk about here. But in general, just because you need the money, if you don't have experience with something, you shouldn't say you have experience with something.
Yeah.
Like if you've never recorded drums before, you should tell, like, you should either pass it on to some, and they need drum recordings, you should pass it on at least just for that part. Because here's the thing, it does two things. The reason why people lie typically is one, because they don't want to be seen or noticed, be found out that they don't know how to do something, which is the stupidest reason.
Yeah. I recently had to fix something for somebody because I never proposed myself to be a general contractor for clients for very specific reasons whenever we're doing studio stuff, because I can help you with the acoustics and I can help you with things I know, but I will not do the jobs that I don't know. This guy apparently promised certain results out of a room, promised soundproofing with 2x4 panels. Soundproofing. He didn't explain.
Bad sales.
He didn't actually communicate what it actually meant to be soundproof and what level of construction and costs are involved with that. Because of that, I'm now having to like walk in and actually correct them. And now they feel really cheated out of it because they spend a lot of money when the person didn't know what they were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So number one is people pretending. The reason why people do that is because, one, people pretending like they don't want to be caught not knowing how to do something.
Yeah.
They don't want to be seen as ignorant. It's a pride thing.
They
want
to be
dumb.
A trusted source, but they had to lie to become a trusted source.
And number two, which is more reasonable and it's easier to empathize with, is this is a client that is willing to pay money, and you don't want to lose out on that. You want to capitalize on everything that you have. So I don't think, and I think there's a way to resolve this. Like, you can either pass off just that part, be like, hey, and you can play it off coolly in your own way too, because there's a way to navigate around a situation like this while you still come off looking like, in the hero's journey, you're the guide, right? So the hero is the artist, right? And there's a way to come off being the respectful guide without having to pretend like you know what you do, you know what you're doing, even though you don't, you know? So I think one is you could say, hey, I know a guy that could do it better than me. And just be totally honest. I know a guy that can do this part better than me. I can do everything else, but this guy, he's going to kill it.
Yep.
And you just do a part, just a portion, and you play it off like, I know this guy, and because it's my connection, that's why I'm dope. And that's okay. I think that's really honest, and that's really kind, and I think that'll come back around. You'll get a better recording, and you're giving somebody else money, which putting money in somebody else's pocket always does good for you in the long term.
Yeah, because sometimes the question of finances is not necessarily it's expensive, but sometimes it's like, from what I've seen and what you're asking for, it just doesn't seem to line up with your past work.
Yeah.
Right. So you could say that about somebody building a house to somebody's mix. It's like, hey, I've looked around the market. I've gotten quotes from other people. I want to work with you, but I think the price is just kind of out of the range of like what we're looking at. It's like, okay, cool. No worries. You know what? Having that connection, that referral is better because at least it shows humility. So when they are coming to you and there's a budget that works out better for the two of you, then you know you're known as like an honest person with some level of integrity where you're just going to walk away from something that's not going to work out for the two of you.
Yeah. And the second option, I think, to combat the second fear, which is losing out on a little bit of money. So you don't want to give the project to somebody else. And maybe that's important. I doubt that that's going to be the reason why you can't pay rent this month or something.
If you can afford to subcontract it, then maybe I can see that. But the last thing it's kind of like what we're talking about. We don't want to catfish. Like, if you need the money that bad, then I'm sure that even 30% of that money is good enough if you're subcontracting somebody else.
And then the second thing that I wanted to talk about was the way to navigate around that is you can do it all yourself, but I do think it's important to tell them that this may be your first time or that you're still new to that. You don't have to tell them, or you can, and I think you can tell them that with, sorry, let me rephrase. I think you can tell them that and let them know, and for them to still be excited. And I don't think it's by lowering your price. Mm-hmm. I don't think that lowering your price is ever a good look, because all it does is it shows a lack of confidence. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I've never done this before, so I'm going to lower my price for you. No.
Or we don't know each other, so as a first time, I'll lower my price.
Yeah, that's difficult, because it seems like it'd be good and you have a fear of losing out on this opportunity, so you want to do it. But all it does is it sets an expectation of a lower price. That's all it does. It's going to really bite you in the ass in the long term. Yeah. And money and careers are made with long-term money and returning clients, mm-hmm. not short-term collecting on new clients. That's not how it's made. So I will say, so the second option to overcome trying to keep all the money is replace a money discount and building trust by discounting money. Replace that with enthusiasm.
Yeah.
So all you have to do is say, I've never recorded drums before, but I really want to. Mm-hmm. I love it. I've done so much research about it. I love this record. I think I can kill this record for you. And if you replace, like, you don't have to pretend like you know what you're doing. Just be super enthusiastic, and I guarantee clients will still want to work with you, if not more than the next person, because usually artists want someone on their team, not necessarily always strategic from the get-go.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's just the best way to go. So again, replace discounts with enthusiasm. Okay, so that's the first thing we talk about, is setting expectations, having the conversation, sitting down. I know an engineer, a friend of mine, that refuses to work with any new clients until they go to lunch together. Mm-hmm. And they have like an hour or 2 hour long conversation about the project before they work on the projects.
Yeah.
Saying no to clients is more for your protection. And you have to, this is a Hormozy quote from, he posted on Twitter, I think it's like, in order to say yes to bigger money, you have to say no to bigger money.
Yeah.
For example, if you want to say yes to a $1 million project, you have to learn how to say no to an $800,000 project.
Yeah.
And it's harder to say no to these big projects. So be aware that saying no is a way to protect you, and it'd be dishonest to yourself and to your clients if you do work that you don't like, that you don't think you can do a good job in, or that you cannot complete on time. So those are all important. I think there's a lot of flexibility in that. I think that most people that are self-aware, mm-hmm. Are aware that they might be into territory where they're uncomfortable, or not uncomfortable, that they shouldn't be doing. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, a lot of people are so desperate that they feel like they have to say yes. And that is where people fuck up.
Yeah.
Have you seen, I literally just watched, did you watch Dune 2 yet?
No.
Okay. Have you watched the original Dune movie?
No.
Oh, damn. Okay. Never mind. In the first Dune movie, there's a test where the Beze Generet, what is it? The Jezi Benaret. I forgot what it was. But anyway, the witches,
Jezebel?
The Buddhist witches. Okay. That's what I'm going to call it. The Buddhist witches that can see the future. They ask the protagonist to put his hand in a box. Mm-hmm. And it's just a box. And she's going to work some magic, and he feels the only thing in this box is immense pain. And she puts a needle up against the protagonist's neck, Paul Atreides. Puts a needle up to his neck, and he says, if you move, an animal will instinctively run away from the pain, remove his hand. He says, if you move your hand, if you move at all, I will kill you right now, because you are not allowed to have this amount of power without
this amount of pain.
Well, you're not allowed to have this amount of power if you're not able to control your instincts. So if you flinch, if you're not able to control your instincts by, like, moving, then you should be killed, because your power is dangerous if you can't. Anyway, so where was I going? My brain was thinking about this situation.
You have this big opportunity in front of
you. Oh, yeah. I do feel like, I do feel like most people, and you'll notice that this is a skill that people higher up in the industry have, is most people don't have the patience to wait. Mm-hmm. And people do kind of act like animals in the industry. It's like they scrap for their food.
Yeah.
People are like, I'll take anything and everything, and I'm willing to do everything. And I think there's a lot of value in that. Like, I think in the beginning stages of your career, we do encourage people trying everything, saying yes to everything. But that doesn't mean by being dishonest.
I think there's a balance to it later in the career. Main reason is that
not every opportunity is there to last for a long time. And sometimes you'll find people who were, you know, they're doing well enough. They still have their work, but they don't have as much work as they used to. So now they're looking for what's new, what's next. And if something pops off, then there's another consistency. But, you know, you see it all the time. Like an artist will take a mini retirement. They'll take a year or two off. And then whoever their main person was is just, you know, they're not doing anything for a year or two.
Yeah. So I do think that in general, you should be being very honest, and you should be like Paul Atreides and learn how to, because it's very normal and human to feel jealous of other engineers, of other producers and their success. I do think it's very normal and human to, and instinctual to have a fear of losing this client or not making that money.
Losing your career.
Yeah, losing your career. So, but it's those that are able to control their impulses that do well. And this is another Hormozy quote is, those that are like the three, I don't know if this is backed by anything, but it's really interesting conceptually, is he says the three most common things that every hyper successful person has is waking up like 3 to 4 hours before the beginning of their day, using to-do lists. And the third one, the most important thing, or sorry, no, I'm sorry, is, what was it? No, I forgot. It was, inferiority, it's insane amounts of insecurity. That's what it was. Okay, now I remember. It's insane amounts of insecurity. Mm-hmm. They're just like always driven. They never feel like they're enough.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of entitlement.
Yeah.
Which like, is like, I deserve this. Inferiority complex or superiority complex. I deserve this. I deserve more. And the third thing is insane impulse control.
Yeah.
So that's all it is. Like people that are willing to wait until the right time.
Delayed gratification.
And I'm again, I keep doing this because I'm watching Tokyo Vice right now, even in the world of Yakuza, like when power is everything, not getting angry.
Is the key.
Those that get angry too quickly.
Yeah.
You don't get the job. You don't become the boss. And those that react emotionally. So you have to control your instincts. Sorry. I'm all about impulse control and, rejecting instinct for furthering your career. Anyway, so we're going to skip that topic, but I think that's really important. This is a really practical one we talked about before. Talk about money before. I'm going to say this very boldly right now. If you work with a client and you become friends with the person, you do some recording, you produce some beats, the project is done now.
Yeah.
And then you talk about billing afterwards.
Yeah.
That's theft.
Yeah.
That is theft. You may not go to jail for it, but
you stole someone's time at the very least.
That is theft. That is the worst fucking thing you could possibly, like one of the worst things that you can do that is within your legal rights to.
Yeah.
As far as business goes, it is uncomfortable. I don't give a shit. Even though it's uncomfortable, you have to talk about money beforehand. Are you doing this on a per project basis? Are you doing this per hour? What are the costs? You do not do anything you're not willing to do for free until you talk about money. And if you don't talk about money until afterwards, you bet your ass you better not charge a fucking dime for that.
Yeah.
I don't care. That is so immoral. And one of the fastest ways, this is a tight topic for me, a close to the chest. I hold close to the chest because I brought two friends over from Utah that moved out here. They did that so many times that I got three different death threats from various people because they did that to those clients. I gave them those clients. And then so those clients came back to me and giving us both death threats. And I had to resolve these issues. I had to call the police, you know, resolve these issues because they did that. That is theft. And that is an extreme way to react to that. But that is extremely immoral. You need to talk about money beforehand, even though it's uncomfortable.
Like, I'd rather have the conversation die because of my price than to piss somebody off and have that be my reputation.
Yeah. There's actually, I'm finishing up 48 Laws of Power right now by Robert Greene, so we can do a part two of that episode. Mm-hmm. But there's a chapter that says to be unwavering, have confidence. And so it's like, say your price and don't budge.
Yeah.
So like, say your price, let it be expensive, and don't move. And then the book, says something like, cause if they may accept you at that price, and then if they accept you at a price that they think is a little bit higher, like, they will respect and honor your creative decisions and whatever decisions you make. And if they say no, they will still walk away with respect.
So I'm not gonna lie. I'm a big fan of, if you don't wanna do something, but you need the money, don't go cheaper, go more expensive.
Because do offer more.
No, go more expensive, straight out. For one reason, I don't want to do it, but I do need the money. But I'm not going to go cheaper and not want to do it. I'm not that. It's a stupid direction to go in. Why would something for cheaper that you don't want to do anyways? But sometimes when I feel like something's at a loss and somebody may not be budgeting properly, or you feel like that's where the conversation's going, and that's your vibe, whatever, you know, I've had projects that I've overquoted on purpose in hopes that they would just turn it down and then they approve it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the reality is, like, I'm not, it doesn't make me more excited to work on it, but it makes me that much more responsible to deliver a better product anyways, whether I like it or not. If you're going to accept a project, if you're going to say yes to anything, you have to move with integrity. So if you don't like it, you should just say no.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand. And even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
You should realistically just say no. The only time you should overquote is if it seems like something that's going to be more work. You might have to subcontract people. You might have to get other people involved. Then overquote so you can afford to pay other people.
You can always hire out, but
yeah.
I'm a big fan of the idea of like not raising children that you don't like.
Yeah.
So like raise children that you like and that you could be friends with. So the idea of like,
well, if I'm not going to like my kid, I hope my kid pays me more.
No, I mean, in the sense of building a clientele that you like working with.
No, that's
So it's like, I morally don't, I think people should avoid saying no matter how much money you could make.
Mm-hmm.
I think people should avoid doing something that they don't like.
Yeah.
Now there's a difference between doing something like, I don't paint walls. I don't want to paint walls.
Yeah.
If someone offers me $1 million, I might paint a wall, but the risk is,
I don't want you to constantly call me for that.
The risk is I might have to change my career.
Yeah.
And so what is the real cost?
Exactly.
So it's like, you have to think about that. I don't think it's okay. I think it's okay to say no to stuff just because you don't want to do it.
Like,
if you hire someone else out, because then you become known as the guy that can hire, that can take care of it. And you don't want to be that guy forever, you got to think about that.
Let me ask you this. Hypothetical, of course. You like this artist. cool. We're just painting a picture of an artist you actually get along with and you like them. I know you don't like recording. I know you don't mind it here and there for a short amount of time, but you'd rather not. It's not the thing you want to do. But they're willing to pay $100 an hour for 8-hour days.
And that's not enough money. I make more money mixing.
Yeah. So you could overcharge. You still wouldn't like it. But if the offer is on the table for $100 an hour,
I'd say
still no.
I would say no. Yeah.
Because reality is, you're not into it. You're going to be sitting there for 8 hours just suffering the whole time. And how many people do we know that go into any industry? It doesn't matter what industry,
and I'm also
but
thinking,
they just talk about like, yeah, I make good money, but I hate my job.
I'm also thinking, I will be clear though. At this point in my life, I don't think I'm as good as recording as someone else could be because I'm out of practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that there's other people that specialize and are willing to do that, that would love to do that. And if I say yes, I'm taking away money from that person.
Yeah. You can always subcontract once again. If you say yes to a big project and you're going to oversee it, you're going to be QCing it, right? Cool. You can choose your team. You don't have to do everything yourself. But I'm saying in the sense of like, let's say that you weren't making, let's say it was dollar for dollar, you were actually going to get offered more to record than you're making hourly from mixing.
Yeah, if that was the case, I personally would probably say no, but I don't think that that's the generalized recommendation I'd make on the podcast. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, this is, if your goal is income, like if someone's goal is straight up make the most amount of money possible,
mm-hmm.
You should say yes to everything, even if you hate it.
Yeah.
But I'm not, for me, my goal is not to have a very extravagant, wealthy career. My goal is to have a balanced career.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd be happy with less than 6 figures every year. Like, honestly, if it came down to it, I'd be very happy.
I'm going to be honest.
Less than 6 figures every year.
I think everybody would be. I think this overly lavish lifestyle thing is overly, it's more than what people actually want/need. I think it's just a painted picture that looks very nice. But once you have that overhead and everything, you realize how much you have to work just to maintain that lifestyle. You're like, actually, I think I'd be happier with less.
Yeah. So it's, so that's just I think personally, if your goal is money, I think if you got to eat shit, don't nibble. Like the more shit you can take, the more money you'll
swallow.
Make. All right. But, either way, okay. Either way, talk about money beforehand. The last thing I want to talk about is, what we've talked, we're kind of touching on this topic,
mm-hmm.
but we haven't quite said it so explicitly, is the importance of over-delivering.
Oh, yeah.
You never, this is a very dangerous thing, and this happens way more often than people realize. People constantly over-promise and under-deliver.
Yeah.
And you want to be the guy that, with a batting average of 100%,
mm-hmm.
be the guy that under-promises and over-delivers.
Yeah.
That is how you do well.
Yeah.
It's doing that consistently and having that be a brand is so, I mean, think about the time, like there's this Chinese food store, right? And mm-hmm. You could get some food, you get some chow mein
mm-hmm.
and they give you food and you're like, ooh, that's a lot. And then you see them give you one more scoop. You're like, damn, they knew I was hungry today.
Yeah.
And that shit goes viral on TikTok.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I was going to say,
that's how
you
easy
go
it
to
is.
A place like Chinese food. We'll use the example. You go to Panda Express, you know what you're getting at Panda Express, but you go to one of the mom and pop shop ones that are local and you get just about the same amount of food. It's just a little bit cheaper, but then you take a bite into it and you're like, this is fucking delicious.
No,
this is delicious. This is amazing. And you're just like, dude, it's almost the same exact price, but I feel like this is the better product.
There's the idea that like the concept that you buy influence, because let's mm-hmm. think about this. This is an anecdote and this is an extreme anecdote, but let's stay with this Chinese restaurant thing. So there mm-hmm. was a TikTok that went viral because the dude was videoing how this guy is like filling this styrofoam plate to the
brim.
Yeah. And then it was like still exploding. Right. How many dollars of food did that restaurant lose in order mm-hmm. to over-deliver, right, for this product?
Probably and pennies on the dollar.
And how many potentially thousands, hundreds, tens, how many dollars do you think this company made from that free promotion?
Yeah.
You know, so it's in exchange of a marketing budget. Mm-hmm. So you have to think about it like that. Like, not everything is a total, you're not just sinking cost. It's not just like a money thing. Mm-hmm. It's an influence thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that sinking a couple dollars to over deliver is always worth it compared to, because let's say you would have spent that money on Instagram ads. Instagram ads do fucking shit, dude. They don't do well compared to over delivering for that one client. And then you have a missionary in the field for life that like always is spreading your gospel.
So do you remember how at the studio we had the espresso machine and everything, and clients would actually come in knowing that they could get a coffee while they were there. Mm-hmm. And that was actually communicated to me a couple times as one of their favorite features. They're like, dude, I fucking love that I can just like come here and just have like a latte.
Yeah, so I think over-delivering could mean anything. It could be service.
It could be comfortability in the space. That's one thing I always got complimented at my old home studio, which was like I always had coffee available. A bottle of wine was always available. I always had like a bottle of alcohol in the freezer or something. I'm not saying get your clients drunk and feed them. I'm just saying make them feel welcome. Make them feel at home. Make them feel like that you are a trustable person resource, not just on a comfort level, but professionally speaking. So when they come to you, it's like, dude, I feel welcomed. I feel like I'm taken care of. I feel like I got what I asked for and more.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the ways that you can over deliver. I think the first thing that I want to bring up about how to over deliver is knowing your clients. For example, celebrities will almost always highly prioritize privacy. Mm-hmm. And having a private parking spot and having that parking spot hidden, you know, not having a huge, like if you're posting on social media, Cardi B's here right now. That's a big no-no, you know?
Yeah.
So there's different clients have different priorities. Some clients don't care if it's in a home studio. Mm-hmm. In fact, they might like it instead of a commercial location. Yeah. But it's about knowing your audience, knowing your brand, catering to them, and also kind of knowing what you want to do.
Yeah.
Right. So, understanding what people prioritize over delivering. So a couple ways of over delivering, it could be service, offering coffee, having a private parking spot. These are all things that people pay
for. Coming to them.
Yeah. It could be just enthusiasm. You'll see this a lot, especially even among bigger names. People always in this industry want to be complimented. Yeah. It's like, so you'll see all the time, like I think part of the reason why DJ Khaled does so well with so little talent is because he's just like a hype man. He's just crazy enthusiastic. And again, like that's if DJ Khaled isn't proof of how much enthusiasm, how far enthusiasm can take you in the industry, I don't know what is.
I mean, it would take a crazy amount of success to see what I saw on Instagram, which is like he does not want to get his Jordans dirty. So he had his security carry him from his car to the go-kart and then from the go-kart onto the stage. And I'm like, that is the wildest, like, even if this was just for marketing purposes, like, this is just social media, like, points right now. Like, that is the wildest thing I've ever seen. I do not have enough money for people to do that for me.
Yeah, well, I mean, his talent is also, like, connecting people. So it's different, but I mean, you get the idea. That conceptually, we're not here to talk shit about DJ Khaled.
I'm just impressed.
We're just here to talk about the value of enthusiasm, right? You can over-deliver that way. You can over-deliver by... that concept of if you can't mix a song well, you mix it faster. You turn it around faster. Actually replying to emails. Literally, my branding right now in the industry is I'm the guy, if you need to get something done last minute, and then because I work from home, if you need a last second revision, I'm able to just walk into the office. It's no big deal. Like, so if you need fast turnaround, if you need to get it done, if you just need it, I'm that guy.
Yeah.
And I do a good job. Right? So it's like, you can over-deliver in many different ways, but the point is, far too often, the logic people have is, I don't feel comfortable offering this, so I'm going to lower my price. Or people negotiate themselves down. I typically charge $50 an hour, but because I've never worked on your genre before, because you're a first-time client, I'm going to charge you $30 an hour. Or something ridiculous, like $15 an hour. I think that is the dumbest way, and you're setting up expectations, which can lead to long-term lack of integrity.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be more difficult for you. You're going to start hating that client when everybody else is paying $50. So you're going to get mad at this client. You're going to not want to work with them. Long-term lack of integrity. The best thing to do is, I'm going to charge you $50 an hour, and instead you make up for it the discount that you would have given by over-delivering. Mm-hmm. For example, maybe you don't typically do drums. Mm-hmm. So this is just off the top of my head. You're like, okay, we're gonna do $50 an hour. We're gonna record these drums. I don't really have a lot of experience with drums, but we're gonna record these drums. And then you, on a personal level, without them asking, you go out of your way and you let them know, hey, I did like 2 or 3 extra hours of drum editing just to tighten this up for you. And I had to learn how to do this, and it would have taken someone with a professional like a third of the time, but there's part of the learning process. So it's like, it's that effort. It's the fact that you didn't have to do it. It's over delivering. You're really invested in the client. That goes so, far. Over delivering is so consistent in LA. That's how people stay at the bottom. It's crazy how bad a lot of these engineers and producers are out here.
Yeah. We've
some of the ones that stay at the bottom, this is the biggest place they fuck up in, is under delivering.
It's the over promise and they'll deliver every time. And sometimes it comes down to, I don't want to say a lack of earned confidence, but it feels that way. I don't know if that's necessarily the right way to put this. Like, I've met many people in a high role that don't actually know what they're actually doing, because there's many times I've had to correct issues that were kind of 101 issues. But the reason that they're there is partly like what you mentioned earlier, they have a great sense of enthusiasm. They have a great sense of consistency and they seem to meet whatever needs the artist has, you know, but the bar for quality is not that high. The bar for quality seemingly is lower than some people think. It's consistency and professionalism that requires a higher bar for you to really succeed. But the bar is pretty low right now.
Yeah, for we did. James and I did an episode about how the bar is super
low. I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah. Well, we haven't released it yet, but it'll probably go out in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
But the bar is really low. All you have to do is the three things that we said.
I think
we had three things. It was all you have to do is three things. All you have to do is show up on time to the appointments that you make, use a to-do list, and actually communicate with your clients consistently. If you do those three things, you will be hyper successful in this industry. That's how low the bar is. And we're talking about 100% batting average. Like, we're not talking about
like 50% of the
way. We're not talking about like in 2 years you won't miss one or two. No, you're talking about in 2 to 5 years you don't miss a single one.
Yeah,
that's how those are where the great people are made.
Yeah,
the great engineers, the great producers. So we're talking about that of over delivering. I think this is incredibly important, and I don't think, again, over delivering is not a skill based thing. Oftentimes it's an effort thing. And even if you like your girl or your boy, your boyfriend or your girlfriend, your husband or your wife, your partner, whatever, they don't care. Mostly if they're a good partner, they don't care about the gift.
Yeah.
They care about the effort of the gift.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah. It's like, it's not about the ring.
Yeah.
Right. Unless you marry an American.
I'll say it like this. When you're dating, we're going out, we're going to have a drink and stuff like that. Cool. When you're married, we're getting the drink at CVS and we're going home because we enjoy our company that much.
Well, I mean, it's about the effort. So like for example, with Anna, it's not about going to the movies or taking her to a restaurant.
No, it's about taking that time to be together.
Exactly.
Just no distractions, you know.
Hold on. I think we're on different pages. I'm saying that you should go out of your way to do something like not go to CVS because it's not about the drinks. It's about the effort.
No. I'm saying the effort of like, hey, you did your work for today and all that kind of stuff. Now focus on me. Go to that effort. Same thing for your clients. You picked up this project. Please put in the effort and the time and focus. You know, if I'm going to spend time with my wife, I'm focused on my wife. I don't care if we're getting drinks or not. I don't care if we're going to the store or not. It's about the time I spend with my wife. The effort is there.
Yeah, we're not on the same page. That's all right. Okay. That's fine. That's fine. It's okay. But the point is, with your clients, I think you don't shower them with gifts. I think the idea is, again, even if you don't have the skill there, you can make up for it with enthusiasm. That's just what it comes down to. And always, always over deliver. Never, never discount your clients. I do think, this is such a strange thing to talk about, and I don't want to overgeneralize. And this is the same piece of advice that everybody hears, and nobody ever believes the person giving this advice until you start doing better. So this
just
is
roll with it.
This is gonna sound like bad advice, and it might be for your stage in your career, but I promise you that once you start doing better in retrospect, you will never have realized how right I might have been. But most people aren't willing to give it a shot. And I think it's hard to actually execute on this idea. Mm-hmm. Is that I think that even with less experience, you should learn to be comfortable with charging more.
Yeah.
I think that most people wait too long to charge more.
Yeah.
This is a really interesting concept. We could do an entire episode just about this. I think that the clients that you would lose at the beginning of your career is not as big of a deal. Because if you lose them based on a price point, they're not your clients anyway. Because the fear with that is you're losing clients, and at the beginning of your career, that feels like everything.
You're not losing clients; you're losing customers. We had brought this one up before,
but I mean, there's not a limited number. There's nothing in this world that would ever stop songwriters from writing songs.
Yeah,
like it's not a limited pool of creative knowledge and creative energy. Mm-hmm. It's not like that decreases over time.
Yeah.
So there's an abundance of creativity. There's so many songs being written every single day, right? If you lose a customer because you charge too much, you're also opening an opportunity to take a customer that will pay what you feel like you deserve.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel like that at the beginning. You don't realize there's even the ideas like quality of clients go up the more you charge. Mm-hmm. So there is a gentle balance here, because I do feel like if you're delusional and if you just start charging $1,000 for a mix off the bat with no credits, no experience, I think that's kind of ridiculous. And I do think that if you don't have the skill to be charging $1,000 per mix, but you do, I think that in the long term, that'll bite you in the ass really, really hard.
Yeah.
So you have to have the skill to back it up. But I do feel like that most people don't value themselves lower than the clients value them. And that is reflected in what they charge. That is reflected in how they treat their customers and how the customers treat them.
Yeah.
People only treat you as badly as you allow them to treat you.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, in general, you can avoid all of this by just being the fucking best. And being the fucking best doesn't mean knowing how to use a compressor, unfortunately. It's communicating well, putting in the effort, and rooting for people, and being a good friend. I think that's just what it comes down to, Lou.
Yeah. It's charging more early on is a great way, I think, honestly, to just kind of set your standard. Like, if you need to weigh all your costs and everything, right? We can't just do everything for cheap. A lot of times we make the notion of do as much as you can for free when starting out until you can no longer do that. But that also doesn't mean like start charging $50 or $500 out the gate if you're still the free guy. But if you're honestly scared that your price is scaring people away and then you start going back on it, it looks worse. If you're going to name a price, hold on to that price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as like in general, and this is another concept from 48 Laws of Powers, but looking insecure is usually the death of a business, the death of a brand. And when you discount price, it's very difficult to discount price without looking insecure, especially for a white glove service like ours.
Mm-hmm.
Again, look up what white glove service means if you don't know what that is. But we don't have a product on the shelves that anybody can grab. Every single project and every single song that we do is catered for that customer.
Yep.
It's a custom project, and we go through to the end with it, right? So from start to finish, it's like buying a Rolls Royce. You just buy a Honda off the lot, but a Rolls Royce, you go in, they make it for you. It's very customized just for you. Yep. You pick all the fabric and the designs and things. So that's what we do, is we, as engineers, we are a white glove service.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just really, it's really interesting. There's so many arguments of why you should be doing work for free and why you shouldn't be. I think like part of my career, there's so many careers that were made that were hyper successful that started off doing things for free.
Yeah.
There's so many hyper successful careers that started off charging a lot.
Yeah.
There are many failures from people that started doing for free, many failures where people started doing it for a lot of money.
Yeah.
We don't know, and we're not going to pretend like we know what's best for you. We do believe that you should always follow your gut, but we're letting you know this information to expand your options and, and consider all of these options, to give you more of a reference point, to give your gut more of a reference.
Yeah.
There are other options too. So the gut can work at full capacity. but anyway, I think that's it for this podcast.
Yeah.
I think that's it for this episode.
Yeah. I think we pretty much hit everything.
I do think, especially to recap, in this industry, honesty is so, in any creative industry, honesty is so important. And I don't know why, maybe this is a flaw on my part, but I do feel like the music industry is probably one of the most dishonest creative industries.
I've had a fair share of experiences that would go into that, but I've also had, I'll say it like this. The most significant experiences I've had have always been the ones that burn me, because those hurt the most. Because when working honestly and when working with people that you want to treat with honesty and integrity, you don't expect that to be the end result. But it's easy to cloud yourself from the positive experiences and the people that you've met and worked with those experiences, because they stand out so much. I think there's a lot of good people that I really enjoy working with. And because of that, I'm very gung-ho in taking care of people that I actually see moving with integrity. If you can't see that as a provider, there's an issue with your workflow, because your clients are seeing it like that.
Yeah. I want to say, like, saying that it's a dishonest industry doesn't mean you should be scared, but it should be motivating in the sense that
You should be looking for those.
You can stand out just by being honest.
Yeah.
That's it.
You should be looking to work with honest people, which is the golden rule since we were fucking kids, right? Just be honest people and have honest friends. Have friends that will tell you the truth and not fucking sugarcoat it. That's it. That's the simplest thing to abide by since you're a fucking kid, and it's the same thing to abide by as a professional. Work with integrity, find people with integrity, and most things go smooth. If you start doing weird shit and hang out with people who do weird shit for money, then weird shit's bound to happen.
Yeah, so I hope that this is very empowering. I hope that you can continue to build your business, whether you have a studio or a producer, you're a producer or an engineer, whether you're a mixer or whatever. It's been so fun. We get so many DMs all the time, people in our Discord saying, like, I've been doing really well recently because of the podcast. Thank you so much. And I don't know what to say. I'm very grateful for that, to be a part of that. I don't really know why. Do you know why? Why do we give away all this information for free? I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
It's interesting. Is it a pride thing? I can't figure it out myself. No.
Remember, we talked about it in a previous episode when you're like, when I first joined the podcast, it was also kind of a challenge for myself to just put myself in an uncomfortable situation. But the other part of it is, you've known me. I don't mind teaching. I actually like helping people. I think it stems from a want to actually just help. You know, I'd rather become the resource in people's life than become the paywall to their resources.
Yeah, that's interesting. Maybe I shouldn't look deeper into it. Maybe it should be, leave it at that.
Yeah, it's like, dude, I'll say it like this. I do not make enough money from the podcast at all to say that the time invested was financially returned. I think what I got out of it is just the sense of, you know what? I help somebody, and anytime I get a DM, which I don't get many DMs at all, I maybe get like one DM every couple months saying like, hey, listen to the podcast episode. That was super helpful, blah, 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 whatever. But anytime I get that, that's payment enough.
That's interesting. Yeah. The feeling of contribution is one hell of a drug.
Yeah. And that's good enough for me. Shit. Yeah. It was an hour and 45 minute drive to do this episode today.
That's how long it takes? Is that because of traffic?
No, it's because it was traffic. It was traffic. That's
traffic every morning.
That's traffic every morning going from 40 miles away. And yeah, you already know LA traffic. North Hollywood to West Hollywood during morning rush hour is an hour drive, and that's 10 miles.
Dude,
so
I wonder,
technically, I had a very fast drive for an hour and 45 for 4 times the distance.
Do you think you could ride a bicycle 40 miles? I feel like, hold on, 40 miles on a bicycle is about 2 hours from what I understand.
I'm not going to lie. I'm willing to bet yes, even in my current state, just because part of my like drive to the freeway is all downhill. Like it looks very flat, but I learned that in that neighborhood, it's actually decline. So there's probably a point where I could just let the pedals go and it'd carry me the rest of the way.
Yeah. I'm not a bicycle rider, but if I look at my Strava and see all of my other rider friends, I think that you can, you know, at a typical pace,
I think you might match their bike ride 20 in
miles,
distance.
20 miles per hour is pretty
doable.
It's pretty doable for a bicycle. So it's like you get there 2 hours, it doesn't change much.
It doesn't really change much. No. Like I remember thinking to myself, I'm like, is it really a 30-minute bike ride from Eagle Rock to the studio?
Also, motorcycles in California, if you don't mind the risk of almost dying, you can weave through traffic. Anyway,
yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. If you do want to pay us back for all this free knowledge,
just DM us.
Exclusive episodes of the podcast are available. Two new episodes every single week, and you get access to all of the previous exclusive episodes ad-free.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the exclusive episodes are always ad-free. And so we got new names that are always signing up. We'll do another public shout out to the new signups. Mm-hmm. But we're great for anybody that's signing up. We do mixed breakdowns. We talk about tools. We talk about advice given from other engineers. James curates the episodes and he does a lot of the work. Shout out to James. And so go check that out. Otherwise, I think that's it as far as like shout outs and stuff. So happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money.